Hi guys. So, how are you today? It's currently 8:18 p.m. Sunday, 11th September, and I'm sitting in my apartment with two little new babies in the house. I am officially a cat mom. I picked up my two little babies today, Tilly and Phoenix, from the lovely, lovely woman who so kindly gave them to me, let me adopt them. And she's the sweetest woman. She gave me this complete starter pack for, you know, the whole, for the kitties, and they were not charged. Honestly, it was so nice to see people who genuinely care about something that it's a zero return on investment thing that, you know, what people do when they take care and foster, you know, animals. Except for the love and the care that the cats show, or any animal per se shows the person fostering them, there's nothing that the people who foster get really out of it. And she was just an angel in disguise, because I don't know if I've been manifesting these cats ever since I spoke about them, but in a matter of 2 weeks, it was only 2 weeks since I actually first thought of getting a cat, and in 2 weeks everything was set in motion. Like, I spoke to my friends about it. One of my really good friends, Eva Pasanga. Hi, girly. She gave me a contact, the contact to the lady, wonderful lady I adopted from. And now they're here and they're just chilling inside the cat carrier. These two little babies are pretty withdrawn, not gonna lie. I went to the house that, you know, I went to go pick them up, and I saw how they were at that place, and they'd been in their house for around 2 months, and they were still quite guarded. So I know this is going to be a work in progress situation to get them to, you know, somehow realize that I mean nothing but love for them. I have only love for them, you know. So, if Tilly, Phoenix, if you can understand what I'm saying, not that I think you do, I love you. Like, if I think I can hear that bell. Anyway, so today we are going to talk about nothing in specific, because, like usual, I don't really intend on scripting my podcast much. I really do want it to be just a conversation between me and you. You know, where you listen. Maybe instead of saying anything out loud, I provoke a thought, you know? And I'll leave you with that. So I'm just going to go on my music and just get inspired, because that's the only way I speak. So let's listen to this today. Thank you. So, as you've noticed, I always like to play at least a clip from a song that I really, really like, because if there's anything I can do, it is share. It's anything. I can share anything. And, you know, I always found that the people who share good music were some of the best ones. So, yeah. This one is called Howl by Elder Brook and Tourist. It's techno, obviously, as you can tell. But, oh my god, does anyone love techno as much as I do here? Because if you do, let me know. I have so many songs that I have found over the span of, you know, the time that I really got into the genre. And I really want to know if you guys are interested, because I would love to make I do make podcasts now. I would love to make playlists of the songs that I hear. It's something I'm really passionate about, you know. I'm trying to think of a way to, you know, really incorporate music into the field that I want to do. And I found the perfect thing. Let me not do what I always do and, you know, get too excited and share everything at the first instance. As you know, I study psychology, and I am a very, very loyal daughter to the subject, as well as English and media and communications, but psychology is primarily my field of interest. People intrigue me so much, and you will not even begin to understand it. Whether it be people who've done good things, bad things, weird things, obnoxious things, like anything someone does, my brain just does what it does best and analyzes. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not going to question it either, because even if it's a bad thing, what can I really do about it except learn to compartmentalize? But I found a good way to put my stupid ass overthinking to use. Let's break this down. 24 hours. I sleep maybe about 7. Out of the rest. Okay, 24 minus 7. Do math. I drop math in. Okay, please do not. I'm not stupid. I drop math, and I just. Anyway, I drop math. So 17. Out of 17 hours, I am overthinking. 17 hours. But all in the best way. All in the best way. There are a lot of things that I've been indulging myself into, which is, one, my work. I work as primarily like content creating, because I don't know how to explain it. I create a lot of like written content. Like caption creating, I control social media stories, and then I know how to make itineraries. I love having fun on Canva. Oh my god, that app is brilliant. And I made the album cover. I wouldn't call it album cover, I think just podcast artwork. I made that on Canva, and it was so much fun. Honestly, you guys, if you're bored ever, just go on Canva and start making anything. Anything. It will honestly take you to like places in terms of imagination that you wouldn't really expect, because you're like, okay, it's a website, you make what artwork, you know, you edit. But it's so much fun. And now that I'm like diversifying into a lot of things, I'm now learning GarageBand. So if anyone has tips on how to use this app, because it looks like Greek and Latin to me and it's all in English. What the heck? What the fuck is a fuzz vocal? Like, I'm changing the settings. I'm looking around and I'm like, does this sound any different? I don't know. Or maybe I'm just not good with... I won't say that. I'm learning. Anyway. So, what else has been up? I really, really, really wanted to talk about like a lot of things today. I wanted to talk about a lot of topics that I accumulated through the week. But now that I actually sit down and speak about it, I don't want my podcast to be scripted. Because if I intend these podcasts to be a conversation between the two of us, then scripting it really loses that essence. You get me? So if my podcast seems choppy and all over the place, it's because of that. I'm trying to keep this as authentic and original as possible because I want y'all to know me, not a filtered version of me. That's what I have Instagram for. But here you're going to get to know the real me. And if you notice, I'm not editing these podcasts at all. The maximum I would do is make sure that there's as minimum background noise. But the listeners that I'm primarily looking for are the people who want to listen to understand. So if you want to understand what I say, and also remember to put yourself on the outside rather than on the inside, because it's very easy for us when we talk about something that we already have a connect with, we have a certain bias in the way we feel about it. That can't happen, especially when I provoke these thoughts into your head, because when a bias starts and follows a thought, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not good. So I'm going to stress upon how important it is for you to not take what I say personally and not compare it to your situation, because your own situation and your own problems have their own intensity. And just because what I say sounds extremely, extremely horrifying, remember that's one case of reality, and it's not essentially, it's information, it's news, it's for you to, you know, really open your eyes and see what's out there. But don't be afraid, okay? The information I want to share with you, I'm going to try and explain it to you in a way that doesn't... it doesn't terrify you, or didn't terrify me as much as it did when I watched it. If you guys want to watch the documentary that I watched, 100% I will link it down below in the description of this podcast. But if you don't, I will explain this to you in a much more sensitized way. Okay. The topic I wanted to talk about was the residential schools in Canada. Now, we watched this documentary in class the other day. It was a nearly 1 hour documentary about how the church and the government of Canada in the 1800s to 1900s, they had formed schools, okay? Now, the initial residents of Canada were not white people, and I think that was what really provoked the government into doing something so inhuman. So, I quote, instead of going to war with the civilians there, they chose to eliminate them. The government of Canada essentially took away almost 150 indigenous children. So I was editing this and I realized I said 150, but it's actually 150,000 indigenous people. So, sorry about that. Indigenous children, and forced them to adapt to the Euro-Canadian society, essentially to take away their culture, to make them who a Canadian was. And that I've realized that in philosophy, who identity is a very, very, very big thing, is a very big topic. And especially for nations like even in India, you know, who is an Indian? That's a big part of what I'm studying in Indian literature, in one of my subjects. And the answer is, we will never really know, because as Indians or as citizens of a country, we will always not be sure of who we are. But that's where culture comes in. Culture shows us who we are and shows us where we come from, our roots, our natives, our ancestors, so you can link it to the collective unconscious that exists. But what the Canadian government and the church essentially did was they ripped away the culture from the roots, the foundations of these kids, that it left 7 generations worth of kids after that not knowing where they came from. Can you imagine a society that was deprived of their culture? It would be almost inhuman. It is inhuman. Because a society without culture, it's nothing. There's nothing. And the documentary included people from, you know, who were in the schools to revisit this place, and they were taking a tour around the whole school. And it was not a very big school. It was just one building with multiple rooms, horrible looking rooms that looked like, you know, something out of a, you know, like a horror thriller movie. You know, those houses that you just do not move into when you see, you know, but somehow white people just end up moving into them, you know. It looked like that. And there were over like 3,000, 4,000 kids. I'm not sure. I honestly actually scratched that. I'm not going to quote how many kids there were, because I could be wrong. Even the statistics that exists about the place is very flawed, because apparently around 6,000 kids died there. But the truth was that the number of kids that died there was almost 3 times the number. So 18,000 kids died and went unrecorded, unaccounted for. Lives just given away, just innocent lives. And the other horrors, the sexual abuse. There was this one guy who went... they were showing the boiler room at this time, and it was so sad to look at him speak about it so normally, as if, you know, it was something that can happen to someone on a passing basis. He spoke about how these boys sexually assaulted him over and over and over again in this one spot, and he said that as he stood in that same, like, very same spot, and I just broke down into tears, because the amount of strength a person needs to have to be able to do that and to be able to speak about it again, it's unimaginable. And another one of the students there, she was taken away from her parents, and none of these kids really know how they reached the schools. Essentially, all they remember was one day being with their family, and the next day they were picked up and they were taken to these schools. I think from the way it was explained, since they were kids, they wouldn't have known, but I think they had been, you know, put to sleep with some sort of sleeping gas. But I don't know. How do people even think of doing things like this? And especially the church. I have so much to say, but I won't, because it's not my place. It's a part of the past. It is what it is, unfortunately. But what we can do is change what's happening now to avoid history repeating itself. Because if you notice what they did, you know, in these residential schools, it reminds me so much of the Holocaust, you know, Hitler era of when he essentially annihilated the Jews. They did that to take away an entire culture from society, one entire culture from society, the Jewish culture. You are not allowed to do that, no matter where or in what position of power you are in. You are not allowed to take away someone's identity, literally or metaphorically. On that note, I'm going to leave you with this. So I really want you, if you can, to spend 5 minutes thinking about something you are grateful for. Be it something you're grateful for internally, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, you know, in terms of family, anything. Just take 5 minutes and just be thankful that you weren't them, and you actually have the power to do something about things that just are blatantly wrong. We are the pillars of the future, and I know that that statement is overused, but the importance of the statement is not stressed enough, because the new generation is stuck in this limbo of identity. So what do we do? What do we do when we don't know who we are? We ask ourselves. We question. What do scientists do when they don't know the answer for things? They figure it out. They research. So I want you guys to try and answer this one question. Who are you when no one's watching? And if you like the answer to that, I am so proud of you. On that note, I must say bye from my side, from Tilly's side, and from Phoenix. We love you. And until next weekend, au revoir.